So great. All right, let me start like this. I want to tell you a story. So on Christmas Eve several years ago, we had this idea at our church that we were going to bring in an artist. His name is Stephen Fishwick. He was connected with some of the guys. And people knew him. He's a very famous artist. But he was one of those artists that can draw a painting in 7 minutes. And what he did for us in 7 minutes, as the music is playing, he's drawing a picture. We're trying to figure out what it was. And at the last second, he flips it upside down. And you're staring into the eyes of Jesus. It's a big, like, 6-foot picture of Jesus' head. It was amazing. And it was moving. And I will say that 2 out of the 3 services, I cried. But you guys know me. Like, I'll cry at a good Hallmark commercial. But actual real men cried during that. It's just really kind of an emotional thing. Well, to defray the cost of bringing Stephen in, we'd sell the paintings, right? And so my buddy Dan, he's got a son, Luke, and Luke came to us and said, "Dad, will you please buy the picture of Jesus? I want Jesus in my room." Well, how do you say no to that, right? You're ponying up the money to buy big, giant, 6-foot Jesus when your kid wants to do that. So he took it home, and there it was, this 6-foot head of Jesus in his room. Well, about a month later, Dan comes into Luke's room, and Jesus has been turned around. It is as though Jesus is in timeout. And so Dan says to Luke, "Hey, Luke, buddy, what happened to Jesus?" And he just looked at his dad and said, "Dad, Jesus was freaking me out." Now, There are moments in my life when I have felt like Jesus was just right there. You know, I was just staring him in the eyes. And the first time was at a Keith Green concert that I didn't particularly like, but I felt like Jesus was calling my name. And in that moment, Jack, who is the single shyest person you would have ever met, walked from death to life. And I knew that Jesus was in that moment. The only reason I'm standing here is because of that moment. I remember still what my wife looked like on our wedding day in her wedding dress. And yeah, exactly the same, right? And we were in the back of this little church holding hands. We were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with the crust cut off. I can't even begin to tell you how much God was in that moment. Because at 24-year-old Jack, I met her when I was 23. I dated her for 6 months and then married her after a year. So it was, I knew. I wasn't smart enough at that point to choose somebody that good for me. But God was in that moment. And we have done life together. And that's been amazing. Any of you who've had children know that feeling of when your child is born. And I remember holding my son and he's covered in blood and I'm just weeping. There are moments that I felt like that. But there are other moments when it felt like God was facing the wall. And I was asking and asking and asking and not getting the answer that I wanted. And I wonder if you've ever felt like that. You know, you're battling depression. You just go, why? Why is this not going away? You are the Prince of Peace. Why can I not find that peace? You're fighting for your marriage and there just doesn't seem to be any progress. It feels like you're the only one fighting for it. You're struggling with finances or sickness or an injury. And it just feels like he's been turned around and he's facing the wall. Thomas Aquinas called this God Deus Absconditus, which is hidden God. There's that idea of Deus Absconditus, the hidden God, is so prevalent that there's a Wikipedia page for it. And I wonder if you are amongst those who have felt like there are times when he is missing. So why don't we do this? Let's start off like this. Why don't you bow your head? And maybe you want to pray something really simple today. Say, God, I want to find you. I want to feel your presence in a new way today. I'm just going to give you a moment. Just sit in that for a second. Lord Jesus, thank you that when we gather, you're here. And I pray, God, that you would speak in a way that is clear to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, today I want to point to some verses that actually confirm what you felt. That there are times when God is just not there. But it also turns out that these verses give us what to do when that happens. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to open it up to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. This is a moment early on in Jesus' ministry. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He says, "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Okay, leprosy. Leprosy, if you had it in Jesus' day, what meant a long, slow, lonely death. If you had it, you were kicked out of the community only to live with lepers. Now, if you don't know what leprosy is, let me explain. It just dulls the pain-sensing nerves in your body. I'm sure you guys are too godly to have watched the movie Novocaine, but there's a movie that just came out this last year about this guy who's fighting for his girlfriend, and he doesn't feel any pain, and so he just risks life and limb because it doesn't hurt him. Now, that kind of sounds cool, right? But here's what happens. Every time somebody with leprosy would hurt themselves, they don't feel it, and their body doesn't heal it because they don't feel it. And so if you stub your toe, you just keep going on living. And so what happens is people basically lose their toes. That's why they lose parts of their body, because all the pain-sensing nerves, it's called Hansen's disease now. You could wear too tight of shoes, and because of that, you lose your feet. And in one moment, Jesus turns this man's life around from being lonely, a slow death, to brand new life. Now, he says, "Look, dude, I don't want you to tell anybody about it." And I'm thinking, how are you going to keep that a secret? He says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." Now, of course, when everybody hears this, they're racing to Jesus. You know, everybody, like this guy's hand doesn't work. Okay, he's going to race to Jesus. Or this guy who had this other horrible disease. Dude, I would be there, man. I would just be running there. "Jesus, I have a chest cold, please." Right? "I just stubbed my toe. Jesus, can you make it better?" Right? People are clamoring for him. They're everywhere. And yet, this is what Jesus did. Verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The word "withdrew" literally means to walk out the back door to avoid detection. So what you thought was actually true. There are times when God cannot be found, because Jesus bailed. He went out the back. And it wasn't that he didn't have important things to do. He had so many important things to do. There were so many people that needed to be healed. There are so many people that needed to have that life-changing touch from Jesus. Now, this moment reminds me of a simple game that we all played when we were kids. Hide and seek. Now, the rules of hide and seek are very simple, but there are several different offshoots of hide and seek that you can do, okay? The rules are basically there is one person who's the seeker and the rest of the people are the hiders. When I was a kid, we used to do this at 9 o'clock at night when it was pitch dark and somebody had a flashlight. And we used to go, you know, people would hide and you'd go and seek them, right? And the seeker won when he found everybody that was hidden. Okay, that's one way to play the game. There are several ways, other ways to play the game, especially if you have older brothers and sisters. There is the, you go off and hide and we'll come find you, and they never do. In fact, some of you parents have played that game on your child. You just go off. We will ultimately find you. Right? There are other games that work very similarly. Okay, you're going to count to 50 and I'll go hide and you come find me. But instead of them looking for a place to hide, they go to the neighbor's house. Is it obvious that I had older siblings? There are times when it feels like we're looking for a hidden God and he's not anywhere to be found in the house, that he's gone to a neighbor's house. Now, when you view these verses, you can view God as hiding from the weak and infirmed, right? Because all these people are looking for Jesus. He's hiding from sick people. But if you really look into these verses, Jesus isn't hiding. He's seeking. He is peeling away to seek his heavenly Father. Look, there are lots of things that are on Jesus' to-do list. Preaching to the whole world, healing people around him, letting people know that what's in heaven is coming to earth. Like all that healing and wholeness in heaven, I'm bringing to earth. That's all really important. But Jesus knew what was really the most important. And that is staying connected with his heavenly Father. Jesus isn't hiding. Jesus is seeking. Matthew 4, we find this. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. There he goes again. Matthew 14:13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Matthew 15. Here's another reason why Jesus withdrew. He was sick of the incompetence of the people he worked with. Peter said, explain the parables to us. Are you still so dull, Jesus asked them? Okay, dull means unintelligent and stupid. Do you ever work with unintelligent and stupid people? I don't. These people are beautiful. They're perfect. They're sitting right here. So no. For me, the answer is no. But immediately after that, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus had many moments like this. Before he started his ministry, he spent 40 days away from everyone. Before he was killed on a cross, he peeled away to be alone. Turns out Jesus wasn't hiding. He was seeking. He knew what was most important in his life. I'm going to hunt down my heavenly Father. I'm going to be at his feet. He wanted to be close. No matter what he had on his to-do list, he knew what was most important. Which brings me to an important question. Are you having a difficult time finding Jesus because he is hiding? Or are you having a difficult time finding Jesus because you are hiding? It's our nature to hide. It's who we are. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden ate the fruit, did what God told them not to do, and this is what they do. Then, verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden and in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. They made a mistake, and they hid. And that's what we do. John Ortberg put it like this: this is the story of my life. I hide because I don't want to be exposed to my fallenness, my darkness. I hide because I'm afraid if the truth about me is known, I'll never be loved. I hide from other people. I hide from God. I hide from truth. In a sense, I hide even from myself. That's what we do. We hide. We show up at church in a marriage that isn't working. We pretend like it is. But the reality is it hasn't worked for a while. And you haven't communicated for a while. And you haven't felt intimacy for a while. And you can't even remember the last time you were close. And no one knows. Because we're good at hiding. The person who feels like work is boring and draining hides. They usually hide that information. And a lot of times they hide in a bottle. The parents whose kid is struggling hides. You show up at church and people are bragging about all the great things their kids are doing. Right? But that's not happening with your kid. Your kid is walking down past you, wish they weren't walking down, and so we hide it. We use language to hide. I don't have an anger issue. I was just frustrated. I don't gossip. I just ask questions so I can pray more accurately. I'm not a workaholic. I'm just supporting my family. We're chronic hiders. This is what we do. And it turns out you and I aren't seeking. We're hiding. But let me tell you something. Seekers find. Thank you, Serena. The Bible tells us that over and over and over again. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jesus said it. There's all kinds of things we worry about. But Jesus says this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. I love that verse. You're worried about your food. You're worried about your money. You're worried about your relationships. God says, look, man, I got you. You seek me. You put me first. I will throw all the rest of that stuff in. And then he says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is a truth that you and I know, and we know it well. If it's important enough, you seek it hard. Okay, one day, I was sitting in my office working on another dynamic message, and my daughter called me, and she says, Dad, I lost the keys to the Prius. Now, I knew what that meant, because this particular daughter had lost the other keys to the Prius a couple of months before. And she was at an art class. It was in the middle of the park, and she could not find her keys anywhere. So I called Toyota to see what that meant. And this is what that meant. To get a new Prius key fob, first, you had to tow your Prius to the dealership. Okay? Then, for $250, they will reprogram your computer to a new key fob, and each key fob costs $175 plus an $80 service fee. We would need two keys, so to get a new key for our Prius would cost us $760 plus $66 tax for a grand total of $826. In that moment, I came up with a new plan. We are finding that key. And this was the entire family. I set us all loose to find this key. First thing I did is I called my wife. She was in the middle of Bible study. Go home, look through our house to see if you can find the old key fob. Daughter, I'm going to come help you. We're going to go scour this park, and we're going to look everywhere for this key fob. So that's what we did. We were just walking and looking. There were homeless people in this park. I told the homeless people, if you find this key fob, lunch is on me. So it's me, my daughter, and a homeless guy. We're looking around everywhere. She has to go back to class, and I'm still looking, just hunting everywhere for this fob. Finally, 6 hours later, there are a couple of security guys walking by. And I said, "Hey, we lost keys. Did you find them?" He says, "No, but if I would lost keys, this is where I would go. I would go to the Civic Theater, and I would ask them if anybody has turned in a lost key to Lost and Found." So that's what I did. I walked in. I talked to the receptionist. I said, "Has anybody turned in lost keys?" And she said, "No." And then I looked past her, and there, hanging on a hook, were my keys. Here they are. I have the picture. Can you believe it? Listen, when something is valuable to you, you seek. And seekers find. 826 bucks. Bang. Saved it. Is it possible that the reason why God seems so hidden from you is because you aren't seeking with all of your heart? That's what the verse says. The seeker's fine, but you'll seek only when you seek with all of your heart. Maybe there's part of you that you want to give to God. When you show up to church, you want to give something great to God, or when you're praying for your kids, but maybe not necessarily when you're looking for something to watch on Netflix. Or the books that you're reading. I really like these books. They might not be super godly, but I'm gonna read them. That there's part of you that is seeking, but there's another part of you that's pretty comfortable with the lifestyle you're living and the decisions that you're making. And it turns out that we don't want God this close. We kind of want him on retainer. We want him to be able to step up when we really need him. It's like having a friend who's a plumber. You want him close enough to where if you have a plumbing problem, you will jump to the top of the list, but not so much that you want to hang out with him every weekend, right? Let me ask you, are you seeking or are you hiding? Hiders have these areas of their life that they try to keep God away from. Hiders give God full access to some areas, not so much access to others. Hiders keep their stuff hidden down. Not even their closest friends know what they struggle with. But seekers are different. Seekers put God first. All areas of their life. They're honest, not just when it's convenient. They pursue God on good days and on difficult days. Seekers ask God what they should do instead of asking God to bless what they're already doing. Seekers don't say, "God, I want this person that I'm dating to marry me." Seekers say, "God, is this the right person and the person that would honor you?" Seekers open God's word and try to stay close. Seekers ask God's wisdom. Seekers come clean with their issues. They don't hide away. They get accountability from other people. So let me ask you, what are you today? Are you a seeker or are you a hider? Because let me tell you something. Seekers find. Now, why would I use this as my last message at Covenant Grove Church? Look, if this place has become about Jack, you guys are, I'm trying to think of the right word. The word that comes to mind is hosed. you're never going to make it if this is about Jack. Don't seek Jack. We've got to walk this path of the road together. But I hope that we've been seeking Jesus, right? And Neil's coming. And he's tall. He's like 6 inches taller than me. You'll be able to, if you wonder Sometimes people come in here and they want to pray with me. They can't find me. That will never be a problem. Oh, there's Neil. He's right there. And I have had a chance to get to know him. And we've heard rumors about him. And he loves Jesus. But if you make this place about Neil, you are, quote me, posed. And if you make your Sunday mornings about what God is going to give you through Neil, you will hear people say things like this, like, well, I'm just not getting anything out of the sermon. People have said that about my messages for years. Look, if you're trying to get something out of my sermon so that you can be well fed all week, you're never going to get anywhere. You can't eat once a week. You got to eat every day. And your attitude shouldn't be, what can Neil give to me? Your attitude should be, what can I give to Neil? Or what can I give to the work of God in this place? Because you're not seeking Neil. You are seeking Jesus. And the answer is not going to be in a message. The answer is going to be in Jesus. And that will be true no matter where you go. And seekers find. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for my friends. Thank you, God, that we've walked this length of road. And there's been good, and there's been difficult, and there's been painful. But God, we know that you are our God, and you'll take care of us. And I pray that my friends would put you first, and this place would always be about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.